No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the fifth day of January. And if you're here, you are doing this. If you just got here, welcome. I'm so glad that you're making the Bible a part of your rhythm today, of your life today. Opening up yourself to hear and receive God's word, to know God personally through his word. What a beautiful thing. We read some important things over the weekend. Some seem like little tiny blurbs in the Bible, and some are huge stories. And sometimes we major on the minors and minor on the majors. And so let's just mention those real quick, because we are in a crucial book of the Bible, the book of Job, and there is so many layers to unfold and peel back in this book, but I don't want to pass by what we've read. We read this little blurb of the story of the Tower of Babel and what's going to happen. It's undoubtedly bound to happen if you're hearing the word of God. You're going to hear things that make you go, did I just read that correctly? Did I just hear that correctly? In other words, there's going to be questions, and those questions will produce emotions that maybe have not been real safe for us in past places, in Christian spaces even. When people don't know the answers, they tend to respond in a way that makes us feel bad for asking. And there's a lot of that. Your questions here are perfectly acceptable. They are safe, and there are no wrong questions. So within this story of the Tower of Babel, we found a people that were trying to build a tower to get to God to make themselves famous. There's the motive. There's the intent right there. And God's not having it. And did God really send different languages to confuse them? He really did. And that might mess with your theology. It might mess with your understanding of God. This is the process of having a relationship with the Bible. Your faith then becomes your own. And so that little blurb happened. And then we have this massive story of Noah being the only righteous person that God could find on the earth. He created humans and could find no one righteous among his creation except for Noah. And so he spared Noah and his family. Did God really flood the earth and drown the rest of humanity? According to the word, this is the story that we read. And throughout that story, Noah trusts God. He builds an ark. People are going to call him crazy, but he builds it. He obeys God. He gathers the animals, gathers his family, shuts himself in. It rains for 40 days, 40 nights. The earth is flooded. God spares Noah, his children, his family, his wife, the animals, and brings Noah and his family to safety. They then repopulate the earth. And then what we read, this little detail that if we don't understand it, we just dismiss it and walk away. Noah gets sloppy, schnookered, sloppy drunk, and disgraces himself in front of his sons. And if we're not careful, we will miss the point that Noah being righteous in the eyes of God and being obedient to God and his instruction still falls in his imperfection, in his humanity, by getting drunk. Some of his sons spare him the shame and walk backwards as to not see their father. And another one of his sons, that's not the case. So those are important pieces as we're following these themes of the heart of man in the Bible so far. And then we get to Job, and there is much to say about Job. And we're going to be here for a few days, so we're going to go back a little bit from the beginning today and unpack what we're reading and then get caught up as this dialogue will continue for several days. So today, we pick up the story of Job, reading chapters 6 through 9, and this week we're reading Christian Standard Bible. So this is Job's response to his friend Eliphaz, who very well might mean well. Job chapter 6. Then Job answered, "If only my grief could be weighed, and my devastation placed with it on the scales, for then it would outweigh the sand of the seas. That is why my words are rash. Surely the arrows of the Almighty have pierced me. My spirit drinks their poison. God's terrors are arrayed against me. Does a wild donkey bray over fresh grass, or an ox low over its fodder? Is bland food eaten without salt? Is there flavor in an egg white? I refuse to touch them. They are like contaminated foods. If only my request would be granted, and God would provide what I hope for, that he would decide to crush me, to unleash his power and cut me off. It would still bring me comfort, and I would leap for joy in unrelenting pain that I have not denied the words of the Holy One. What strength do I have that I should continue to hope? What is my future that I should be patient? Is my strength that of stone, or my flesh made of bronze? Since I cannot help myself, the hope for success has been banished from me. A despairing man should receive loyalty from his friends, even if he abandons the fear of the Almighty. My brothers are as treacherous as a wadi, as seasonal streams that overflow and become darkened because of ice, and the snow melts into them. The wadis evaporate in warm weather. They disappear from their channels in hot weather. Caravans turn away from their routes, go up into the desert, and perish. The caravans of Tema look for these streams. The traveling merchants of Sheba hope for them. They are ashamed because they had been confident of finding water. When they arrive there, they are disappointed. So this is what you have now become to me. When you see something dreadful, you are afraid. Have I ever said, 'Give me something,' or 'Pay a bribe for me from your wealth,' or 'Deliver me from the enemy's hand,' or 'Redeem me from the hand of the ruthless'? Teach me, and I will be silent. Help me understand what I did wrong. How painful honest words can be. But what does your rebuke prove? Do you think that you can disprove my words, or that a despairing man's words are mere wind? No doubt you would cast lots for a fatherless child and negotiate a price to sell your friend. But now, please look at me. I will not lie to your face. Reconsider. Don't be unjust. Reconsider. My righteousness is still the issue. Is there injustice on my tongue, or can my palate not taste disaster? Isn't each person consigned to forced labor on earth? Are not his days like those of a hired worker? Like a slave, he longs for shade. Like a hired worker, he waits for his pay. So I have been made to inherit months of futility, and troubled nights have been assigned to me. When I lie down, I think, 'When will I get up?' But the evening drags on endlessly, and I toss and turn until dawn. My flesh is clothed with maggots and encrusted with dirt. My skin forms scabs and then oozes. My days pass more swiftly than a weaver's shuttle. They come to an end without hope. Remember that my life is but a breath. My eye will never again see anything good. The eye of anyone who looks on me will no longer see me. Your eyes will look for me, but I will be gone. As a cloud fades away and vanishes, so the one who goes down to Sheol will never rise again. He will never return to his house. His hometown will no longer remember him. Therefore, I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Am I the sea or a sea monster that you keep me under guard? When I say, my bed will comfort me and my couch will ease my complaint, then you frighten me with dreams and terrify me with visions, so that I prefer strangling death rather than life in this body. I give up. I will not live forever. Leave me alone, for my days are a breath. What is a mere human that you think so highly of him and pay so much attention to him? You inspect him every morning and put him to the test every moment. Will you ever look away from me or leave me alone long enough to swallow? If I have sinned, what have I done to you, watcher of humanity? Why have you made me your target so that I have become a burden to you? Why not forgive my sin and pardon my iniquity? For soon I will lie down in the grave. You will eagerly seek me, but I will be gone. Then Bildad the Shuhite replied, how long will you go on saying these things? Your words are a blast of wind. Does God pervert justice? Does the Almighty pervert what is right? Since your children sinned against him, he gave them over to their rebellion. But if you earnestly seek God and ask the Almighty for mercy, if you are pure and upright, then he will move even now on your behalf and restore the home where your righteousness dwells. Then, even if your beginnings were modest, your final days will be full of prosperity. For ask the previous generation and pay attention to what their ancestors discovered. Since we were born only yesterday and know nothing, our days on earth are but a shadow. Will they not teach you and tell you and speak from their understanding? Does papyrus grow where there is no marsh? Do reeds flourish without water? While still uncut shoots, they would dry up quicker than any other plant. Such is the destiny of all who forget God. The hope of the godless will perish. His source of confidence is fragile. What he trusts in is a spider's web. He leans on his web, but it doesn't stand firm. He grabs it, but it does not hold up. He is a well-watered plant in the sunshine. His shoots spread out over his garden. His roots are intertwined around a pile of rocks. He looks for a home among the stones. If he is uprooted from his place, it will deny knowing him, saying, I never saw you. Surely this is the joy of his way of life, yet others will sprout from the dust. Look, God does not reject a person of integrity, and he will not support evildoers. He will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with a shout of joy. Your enemies will be clothed with shame. The tent of the wicked will no longer exist. Then Job answered, yes, I know what you've said is true. But how can a person be justified before God? If one wanted to take him to court, he could not answer God once in a thousand times. God is wise and all-powerful. Who has opposed him and come out unharmed? He removes mountains without their knowledge, overturning them in his anger. He shakes the earth from its place so that its pillars tremble. He commands the sun not to shine and seals off the stars. He alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. He makes the stars, the Bear, Orion, the Pleiades, and the constellations of the southern sky. He does great and unsearchable things, wonders without number. If he passed by me, I wouldn't see him. If he went by, I wouldn't recognize him. If he snatches something, who can stop him? Who can ask him, "What are you doing?" God does not hold back his anger. Rahab's assistants cringe in fear beneath him. How then can I answer him or choose my arguments against him? Even if I were in the right, I could not answer. I could only beg my judge for mercy. If I summon him and he answered me, I do not believe he would pay attention to what I said. He batters me with a whirlwind and multiplies my wounds without cause. He doesn't let me catch my breath, but fills me with bitter experiences. If it is a matter of strength, look, he is the powerful one. If it is a matter of justice, who can summon him? Even if I were in the right, my own mouth would condemn me. If I were blameless, my mouth would declare me guilty. Though I am blameless, I no longer care about myself. I renounce my life. It is all the same. Therefore, I say, he destroys both the blameless and the wicked. When catastrophe brings sudden death, he mocks the despair of the innocent. The earth is handed over to the wicked. He blindfolds its judges. If it isn't he, then who is it? My days fly by faster than a runner. They flee without seeing any good. They sweep by like boats made of papyrus, like an eagle swooping down on its prey. If I said, "I will forget my complaint, change my expression and smile," I would still live in terror of all my pains. I know you will not acquit me. Since I will be found guilty, why should I struggle in vain? If I wash myself with snow and cleanse my hands with lye, then you dip me in a pit of mud, and my own clothes despise me. For he is not a man like me that I can answer him, that we can take each other to court. There is no mediator between us to lay his hand on both of us. Let him take his rod away from me, so his terror will no longer frighten me. Then I would speak and not fear him. But that is not the case. I am on my own. Okay, as promised, we're going to go back a couple of days and just recap the beginning of the story and get caught up to where we are today, because this is one of the most essential books that sets up the rest of the Bible and the rest of our year. Because if we don't understand it, we will miss the importance of what is actually happening here. So, Job, a man of complete integrity who fears God and turns away from evil. Now, this is very similar to the character of Noah that we just read about. Job has a good fortune. He has a lot of things that made him a very wealthy man during this time. Cattle, sheep, goats, camels, oxen, donkeys, lots of servants, and many children. And so his sons, they take turns having parties and banquets and feasts at their house, and they send invitation to everyone, and they come and they dine together. And Job is so integral that he sends burnt offerings and purifies his children on their behalf to God in case they have sinned. And this is a regular practice. This is important because of some of the language that we hear in today's reading. From here comes these details in the story that if you don't sit with them, you'll just scathe over them for a multitude of reasons. But let's catch these details. Did Satan really come into the presence of God? First and foremost, yes, he really did. God asks him, where have you come from? Been roaming the earth, walking around it. Does God really put Job out there to Satan? He really does. Have you considered my servant Job? No one else on earth is like him, a man of perfect integrity who fears God and turns away from evil. Now, Satan doesn't say, I'm looking for someone to devour. He's roaming through the earth, walking around it. The Lord, as stated, puts Job out there. Like, it's almost, how did this come to be? Like, Satan didn't say he's looking for someone to taunt. And the Lord throws Job to Satan. And then there's this dialogue back and forth. Satan asks the Lord, does Job fear God for nothing? Haven't you placed a hedge? There's that word, a hedge of protection around him, his household, and everything he owns? The suggestion here is that Job is a man of integrity and he is faithful to God because God has blessed him. He has given him everything he has and God is protecting him. So Satan gets through this suggestion and tells God, but stretch out your hand and strike everything he owns and he will surely curse you to your face. This will be the moment. And the Lord obliges to Satan. But he doesn't do it. He throws the power back into the hands of Satan. Everything he owns is in your power. However, do not lay a hand on Job himself. So Satan left the Lord's presence. And then we know what happened. Job loses everything but his wife. And his declaration in that is, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will leave this life. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job does exactly what the Lord suggests he will do. He does not curse God in his loss. But Satan's not done yet. So Satan comes back into the presence of the Lord. And essentially the same conversation happens to God, saying he still retains his integrity even though you incited me. You turned me against him to destroy him for no good reason. Satan answered the Lord, skin for skin. A man will give up everything he owns in exchange for his own life. But stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely then curse you to your face. Satan's upped the ante, so to speak. Threaten to take his life. There's no way. He will not turn his back and curse you if you take his life. And the Lord obliges. Very well. He is in your power. Only spare his life. So Satan leaves the presence of the Lord, infects Job with terrible boils, that he takes a broken piece of pottery to scrape himself in the midst of his ashes of ruin. And then Job's wife comes along, and boy, lots to say about this. Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. She's like, just get it over with. You're still holding out on this God who has allowed you to lose everything and now your health. Just curse him and get it over with. And Job responds, you speak as a foolish woman speaks. Should we accept only good from God and not adversity? Ugh, we gotta catch this line. Are we just here in relationship with God to only take the good? Let's get this imagery. Is God a genie that grants us our three wishes? And we stay with him as long as he's good and his goodness is declared by us getting what we want, living in the plenty and the want and the desire, because in the plenty and want and the desire is usually where we turn our back and run. We don't need anything anymore. We got it. We're good. We got the power. We got the prestige. We got the wealth. We got the fame. We got the envy from everyone. They want what we want. We got the platform. We got the ministry. Everything's looking real good. Job still has not lost his integrity. Now enter the scene. Job's well-meaning friends. Job's a mess, as we can imagine he would be. And so as they first come, they don't recognize him. And they do what is so beautiful, and maybe we can take away from this. They sit Shiva with Job. This is an ancient Jewish practice where you come to the bereaved, you sit with them, you offer your presence. You don't try to make it right. You don't fix it. You don't offer them words, empty platitudes, well-meaning things that gets them through their grief as fast as possible. You cook for them if they need to eat. You clean for them if they need cleaned. You offer nothing to them because you have nothing to offer but presence. And they do this at first, and they do this very beautifully. And then the dialogue begins. And his friends are going to speak everything that could be spoken underneath the sun that we say in tragedy, in grief. If we are listening, we will so quickly identify ourselves and we'll probably cringe, but stay present. Don't turn in shame. There's nothing to be ashamed of if we learn what we need to learn that the Bible is willing to teach us. And so that was a lot to get through to get us to where we are today. And we'll pause here and we'll begin dissecting some of this dialogue tomorrow. God Almighty, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your presence. We thank you and we worship you and we love you. Even though we cannot understand things about you yet, we declare your goodness based on who you are, not what you can do for us, not what you can bring to us, but because you are God and your ways are higher than ours, your thoughts are deeper than ours, your love is incomprehensible. But we declare you in this space and time today as good. because you are God. We love you and we worship you. I pray this all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible. That is home base. That is the free app. That is the website. You can download the free app. If you haven't, share it with a friend. If this is just rocking you 5 days in and you're like, I need someone to hear this. Do you hear what I'm hearing? Send it to a friend. Invite them to come through the Bible with you. And as I always say, send it to an enemy. They won't be your enemy for long. There's lots for you to check out at the website. If you haven't, take a look around at the store, the resources, the community section. Just play around with it. Spend some time and get to know the community. Get to know this space as we get to know each and every one of you. If you would like to partner with a Daily Audio Bible, we cannot keep going without the partnership that each one of you bring. And we are so grateful that we do not have to shoulder this burden alone. There's several different ways for you to give. The physical mailing address is Daily Audio Bible, or DAB, P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you're utilizing that app, hit the Give button up at the top right-hand section, or on the website, look for the Give icon. We're going to pause here today. No more announcements. Don't want to overload you if you're new. We'll take it slow, little by little, day by day. We'll continue together in the book of Job tomorrow. I'm Jill. I love you all. Until tomorrow, love one another.
Good morning, DAB family. This is Rising Above Our Circumstances in St. Louis, and I'm calling in for an urgent prayer request for myself. A few years ago, I met a widow named Patsy Roberts, and we became very close, her and my new husband. She had been abandoned by her entire family because of some very bad choices she had made when she was younger. But yesterday, Patsy stepped into eternity. She left us, and even though hospice had told us to expect it, it still was hard. It still is hard to deal with. This is the sixth person that I've had to do this with. Three of them, I was standing at their bedside when they took their last. And it's hard. It's very hard. And one of those was even a spouse. And I've been trying to do all this alone. Not even letting my husband know at times. But I'm tired of being publicly strong and privately depressed or sad. So I'm just asking for you all to pray for me, because it's overwhelming. And now I have to finish making her funeral arrangements. And it's hard to be here. It's very hard to be here. And I've been under spiritual attack by some situations going on in the ministry that I'm a part of. And I just ask y'all, pray for me. Please pray for me, because I don't know if I can hold up any longer, especially not alone. I love you all, and I thank you, and I pray for you all.
Jill, I just want to say a resounding thank you so much for being our leader this year, for reading us through the Bible chronologically. It's been such a beautiful journey, and I'm so encouraged by you, just your transparency and sharing where you are on your journey is awesome. It's awesome. We're all in process. I just appreciate you so much, and your family and all my loved ones out there. Merry New Year to you. I missed the call for that, but I'm saying it now, and I just wish and pray for such a spectacular 2026 for everyone. May our hearts just grow even larger and more beautiful as we shine our hearts towards the sun, towards the face of God, and get washed in the blood of Christ. Love you all. Happy New Year. Thank you again, Jill. Bye.
Hello, Chronological. This is Taken with Love from Louisiana. It's been quite a while since I have visited the Chronological channel, but I am so glad I did. I truly felt the Holy Spirit after the trip that we went on, urging me to jump over and see what was going on with Jill. Jill, you were so beautiful on that epic journey, so transparent, so enlightening, so encouraging. I know you're behind the microphone, and I know you don't know who all you're speaking to, but you were speaking to me. I'm going to be a double dabber, it looks like. And so I just want to say thank you. You are such a jewel. No wonder Brian is so in love with you. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. I'm in love with the Holy Spirit. And the more I can get of His Word, I know, God, that you will increase in my life and in every chronological life as we decrease. Oh God, take the Holy Spirit and just fill us up, Father. Give Jill the words, the prayers, and the insight to lead us and guide us in the way that you want us all to go. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for your word. Oh, it's so rich, Lord. Oh God, I feel so blessed to be able to be on both channels this year. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. God bless y'all. Bye-bye.
Good morning, DAB family. This is Christy. This is my second year listening, but I've never called in before. And I just felt like I needed to submit a request for myself, my family. Praying for a financial miracle this year, honestly. I need God to move. It's just bigger than me. Also praying for transformation in family members' hearts, for reconciliation and restoration of relationships, for repentance, for healing for one of my daughters, in Jesus' name. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for what you do and just the sacrifice of reading the Bible every day so that we can listen and pray. So I just ask that, ask for prayers and want to say thank you. Have a great 2026.